Radio Pensacola. It's the Pensacola Expert Panel. I am your host, Jake Walker. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. I'm very excited about this interview coming up. Please stick with me here. I have on the line Dr. Benjamin Bickman. He is a scientist and a professor at Brigham Young University. He earned his PhD in bioenergetics and was a postdoctoral fellow with the Duke National University of Singapore in metabolic disorders. And currently his focus is to better understand the role of elevated insulin and nutrient metabolism in regulating obesity, diabetes, and dementia. In addition to his academic pursuits, Dr. Bickman is the chief health officer for RX Sugar and the author of a book called Why We Get Sick, which is available on Amazon. Go out and get that. It's a great read. Dr. Bickman, Ben, thank you so much for being here this morning. How are you doing?
I am doing very well. Thanks so much for the invitation. There's nothing I like more on a warm spring morning than talking about metabolic health.
Yes, definitely. We all feel that way. thank you so much. I know you're very busy and you've got a lot going on, so thank you for taking time out of your schedule to talk to us about this. So for our listeners, this is very important to me. I want to definitely bring this information to the people who listen to this show. What is insulin resistance and should we be concerned about it?
Right. Yes. Yeah. Insulin resistance is a problem of two parts. It's a coin with two sides. On one side of the coin, we have the resistant part of this term, which is that the hormone insulin isn't working particularly well at some cells of the body. But then when we flip the coin over, we have this other part of this problem that we call insulin resistance, which is a chronically elevated insulin level. So we have insulin not working entirely well, and we have too much of it in the body. That is insulin resistance. And it certainly is something we should be thinking about. It's justified for us to be talking about it on the airwaves right now because it is the single most common health problem worldwide. A study that was conducted over a number of years within the United States estimates that up to 88% of adults in the United States have some degree of insulin resistance. And this, lest we think this is just a local problem, that it's just an American problem, I've given versions of the talk I gave at IHMC this past week at countries around the world. It's even worse in areas like Southeast Asia and the Middle East. So this is a global phenomenon where we are suffering from the consequences of our modern diet for the most part, but I won't get ahead of myself.
Right. So getting into that, what are some of the risk factors here? What can we look for in our diet and in our lifestyle that contribute to insulin resistance?
Yeah, that is really where the rubber meets the road. There are a handful of influences or what we could call noxious stimuli that can increase insulin resistance. Things like infections and inflammation and stress, even through stress from poor sleep. But by far, the most relevant risk factor is the incessant consumption of refined starches and sugars. Basically, we're eating too frequently from foods that are coming from bags and boxes with barcodes. And these foods that are high in refined starches and sugars elicit a substantial increase in our blood sugar levels. And the more frequently and the more dramatically we are bumping up our blood sugar levels, the more the hormone insulin has to be bumped up. And insulin can be elevated. If you eat, we eat several pieces of bread, insulin can be elevated for several hours, even up to 4 hours, 5 hours. And of course, by the time insulin's coming back down, we've already bumped it back up because breakfast is done with, and now we need a mid-morning snack. Then we need lunch, which is always going to be starchy. Then we need an afternoon snack and so on, where the average individual is spending every waking moment in a state of elevated insulin. And unfortunately, because most people snack on starchy, sugary foods before they go to bed, they're spending most of their sleeping moments in a state of elevated insulin as well.
So that's causing poor sleep, and then that just contributes more, and it's just a cycle that keeps growing.
Yes, it becomes a vicious cycle. But one comment on the poor sleep, it is particularly tragic that people find their willpower at the weakest in the evening. And I say that as a person who feels the same way.
Right.
It is in the evening when we want these starchy, sugary foods. And when we spike our blood sugar levels, not only, of course, are we bumping up insulin, which is promoting insulin resistance, but the elevated blood sugar levels itself activates what's called the sympathetic nervous system. This is the part of our nervous system, or the aspect of our nervous system, that makes us feel anxious. It makes us hot. It makes us sweat more. It makes our heart beat harder and faster. And so the poor person who just ate two bowls of cereal and is going to bed hyperglycemic is lying in bed wondering why they're anxious. They're not anxious. Not really. They're just suffering the consequences of their dramatically spiked blood sugar levels.
Wow. Okay, so big connection to carbohydrates, sugars, and our mental health.
Absolutely.
Wow. I never even thought about that. Wow, that is incredible. Well, I know we don't have a whole lot of time today, so I'm going to kind of blow through these topics here. Let's talk about medications really quick, because this is something that I'm dealing with. I'm on a statin for high cholesterol. I've had, parts of my past where I was on antipsychotics. I know a lot of people who are on antidepressants and certain other medications in combo. So what do these medications have to do with our insulin resistance? Do they affect that?
Yeah, really good question. Let's just start with statins. So the evidence in men is a little more conflicted. Now, statins act, of course, by inhibiting the body's ability to produce cholesterol.
Right.
Unfortunately, we need cholesterol. It is a completely essential molecule to the life of every animal cell on the planet. We must have cholesterol. And so when we wage war on cholesterol by taking statin medications, we lose some of the beneficial molecules that cholesterol can turn into, including those that are involved in energy production within the cell. So within men, the data is conflicted. In women, it's not conflicted. Women who take statins increase their risk of developing type 2 diabetes, which is a form of insulin resistance, by 50%. So half as great a risk increased than someone who's not taking the statins. But then you mentioned antipsychotics. That's a fascinating area of research where some of the more commonly used antipsychotics like olanzapine and clozapine rapidly cause insulin resistance at a whole body level. And I mean rapidly, like within days upon starting the medication, the person has significant and demonstrable insulin resistance. And the problem there is that when your body starts becoming insulin resistant, it of course begins contributing to the brain becoming insulin resistant. And the brain is a high metabolic rate organ. It needs a lot of energy. And one way that it gets energy is by pulling in blood sugar when insulin opens those kind of blood sugar doors. But as the brain starts to become insulin resistant, it can't get that energy and the brain starts to go hungry. And now you start to have neurological disorders, including perhaps some emotional anxiety disorders. Certainly that includes things like migraine headaches, and increased risk of dementia, increased risk of Parkinson's. All of those, despite having very different problems, but the one thing they all have in common is all of them have a degree of brain insulin resistance at their core.
I feel like all of this is I'm in that movie, The Usual Suspects, where everything is starting to sort of, play into each other. So if someone's on medications, they're on statins, they're on antipsychotics, they drink energy drinks during the day, maybe two or three, which is very common for most people I know. And then they're going to bed at night after, munching on some carbs from a bag or a box. And then they're having all of these neurological disorders. It's just we're doing this to ourselves, basically, with our diet.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, diet is the singular most relevant variable in all of this conversation. But as much as I state that with such authority, I also state it with some compassion because the average individual is largely doing what they've been told to do, which is that we should eat 5 to 6 times a day, that it's better to eat a lot of small little meals, and that it's better to avoid fat because fat is so bad and we should just focus on carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. It has worked. We have listened to that advice. People are eating more frequently, and they're focusing primarily on carbohydrates. Well, unfortunately, that creates a perfect metabolic storm that promotes insulin resistance.
Mm. All right. My guest this morning, Dr. Benjamin Bickman. He is a scientist and professor at Brigham Young University, helping us understand the role of elevated insulin levels and nutrient metabolism in regulating obesity, diabetes, and dementia. There is a genetic component to this, which we will talk about when we come back. We're going to take a quick commercial break. If you have questions or comments, 437-1620. Join the conversation and we will get your questions answered right here on the air. You're listening to News Radio Pensacola, informative, local, and dependable. We'll be right back.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la. It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today and learn more with Mary on Demand. Take the self-guided education series at your own pace. You'll decide what you'd like to learn and when. Visit mary.famu.edu to learn more. That's mmeri.famu.edu. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
News Radio Pensacola. It's the Pensacola Expert Panel. Thank you so much for joining me. My name is Jake Walker. On the phone, I have Dr. Benjamin Bickman. He is a scientist and professor at Brigham Young University, and he is studying the role of elevated insulin levels, nutrient metabolism, regulating everything from obesity, diabetes, and dementia, and our mental health. We're talking about everything from carbohydrates to what I want to get into now is light while we sleep. Doctor, thank you so much for being on the show this morning. You're doing great work, and I really want to tell people, go out and get your book, Why We Get Sick, and check out RX Sugar as well. That's something I might have to check out today. So the role of carbohydrates, the role of medications, even our stress, just being stressed out, cortisol levels in our body can inhibit the process that it takes to get rid of this blood sugar, this insulin in our body. So let's talk about light while we sleep, because I'm guilty. I sleep with the television on, and I'm usually not limiting my screen time on my phone to the regular, I think they say 1 or 2 hours before bedtime, you should probably not have your phone on. So for people who really don't do that, what is the risk? How does light while we sleep play into all of this?
Right. Yeah. So there are, I mean, we can all agree that it's an unnatural situation to have such bright electric lights shining while we're trying to rest.
Right.
It should just be as dark as possible. And part of the consequence of this, and there are many, but just to keep it strictly within the realm of metabolic health, one very strong variable here is melatonin itself. We always think about melatonin as a sleep hormone, and that's not wrong, but it's also a metabolic hormone. When we sleep, melatonin will increase during this sleep cycle, and melatonin has a generally favorable metabolic effect. It directly improves insulin sensitivity in the body. So that's a net gain. That's a positive. However, if we are exposed to bright light during the night, even if we're just sort of turning over and like the TV is on, for example, and that hits our eyes, that light, then that very rapidly starts to inhibit melatonin production. And thus, with the loss of melatonin, the body starts to become more insulin resistant. But at the same time, that light exposure can amplify cortisol levels. And you'd mentioned that earlier. And cortisol is one of the key stress hormones in the body. Now, that doesn't mean cortisol is a villain. We need it. But in this case, we're getting too much of it at the wrong time. And so that can further exacerbate insulin resistance. But the net effect of all of this with the bright light, we're not going to sleep as well. And even one bad night of sleep is sufficient to cause demonstrable insulin resistance the next day. Now, thankfully, you can undo that by getting one good night of sleep, but it starts to kind of compound and build on each other, where if you don't sleep well, you have a higher level of stress hormones the next day, cortisol and adrenaline, and both of those hormones act against insulin, creating a very rapid onset and a very acute insulin resistance. Now, thankfully, again, it can be corrected quickly, but even still, if it's night after night, day after day, the insulin resistance just starts to get bigger and bigger.
Mm, wow. And there is a genetic component to this as well. It's not just our own habits. We shouldn't feel so guilty about our habits, but there is a genetic connection here, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is. Now, saying that there's a genetic component does not mean to say, I don't mean to say that there is a clear specific gene that predisposes or determines that someone's going to be insulin resistant. Rather than a specific gene, it's more of what we would call a familial inheritance. So when I generally give a presentation about insulin resistance, just to help people understand their own risk, one of my questions is, do you have a family member with type 2 diabetes or a female family member who had gestational diabetes, which is basically just a type 2 diabetes of pregnancy? Mm. And if the answer is yes, that is a person who invariably is going to struggle more with insulin resistance and just needs to be particularly more careful with their consumption of refined starches and sugars. So while there is not a clear gene that says that someone's going to have insulin resistance, there is a very clear familial pattern. If mom or dad had type 2 diabetes, which again is just a sort of insulin resistance that has continued for years, then this is a person who must be much more careful than someone who doesn't have any family history.
Wow. Go to ihmc.us. That is the Florida Institute for Human and Machine Cognition. You gave a evening lecture series at the IHMC recently. How was that? How did that go?
Oh, it was so wonderful. I was just so delighted when Ken, the director, CEO of IHMC, when he invited me out. I have really long respected the work that IHMC has been doing with their podcast, STEM Talk, and I was delighted to be a guest on that a couple of years ago. But it was a wonderful opportunity, and I was so delighted, not only by the Institute itself, really just putting Pensacola on the map with regards to biomedical research, but also just the audience, the crowd. It was such an energetic, eager group, really spanning from high school students to much older than high school students. And I was thrilled by their enthusiasm and the opportunity to have a new bunch of students. As I joked at the time, nothing thrills an old professor more than having a new class to teach, right, new students. So I really enjoyed the experience.
Yes, definitely check out the evening lecture series. Go to ihmc.us. The next one is coming up on May 23rd. Different topics every time. It covers a whole gamut of issues and things related to our lives. So definitely check that out. Thank you, Doctor, for being with me. If you have time, if you can stick around for the break, we'll come back and quickly tell people, give them a ray of hope, tell them what they can do, maybe some methods to combat this insulin resistance problem.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be right back after this. 437-1620, if you have any questions or comments, we'll be right back after this. It's Pensacola's expert panel here on News Radio Pensacola.
The number one goal at Gulf Breeze Natural Gas is safety. If you're one of their customers in Gulf Breeze or Pensacola Beach, here are three ways to detect: smell, sight, sound. If you smell a rotten egg odor, see dead vegetation, or hear a hissing sound, call them immediately at 850-934-5108. You can also visit their website, gulfbreezenaturalgas.com, and click the safety page to learn more about natural gas safety. Gulf Breeze Natural Gas, your style, your comfort, your energy.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College, on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The The Pensacola State College Charter Academy is looking for 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade students that would like to earn their high school diploma and their associate's degree simultaneously for free. Students will experience a rigorous curriculum and career exploration that will prepare them for their next step in life and will have access to state-of-the-art technology. And everything is free. Free books, tuition, fees, and a free laptop. Visit charteracademy.pensacolastate.edu for more.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
News Radio Pensacola, it's the Pensacola Expert Panel. My name is Jake Walker. Thank you so much for joining me today. I've been very excited to have Dr. Benjamin Bickman on the show. Ben, thank you so much. This has been a highlight of my career on the radio. I haven't been hosting for very long, but to be able to study this topic and to see how it relates to our lives, especially now in this time, it's been an honor to talk to you, sir. Thank you for joining me today.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Yeah. I'm delighted to be here.
So a lot of people might say, well, we've got all these new drugs now. I can just jab my leg every day and I don't have to worry about insulin or diabetes. This is not going to affect me. I don't care. What do you say to those people?
Yeah, right. I say that don't be so naive. I mean, one of the reasons we're suffering from the health, the diseases that we are is because of our overlooking the relevance of metabolic health. And the thing about insulin resistance and why I'm so passionate about talking about it is that every single chronic disease and all these top killers that we're suffering from globally, the one thing they all have in common is insulin resistance. And so I just really believe there's value in focusing a lot of our efforts on that one variable. Not that there aren't other variables involved here,
right,
but that there's one common variable that by addressing it, we can reduce the risk of all of these other diseases. Unfortunately, as there are more and more drugs that come online or on the market to address metabolic health, the more people only want to rely on those, but yeah, you cannot trick metabolic health.
So this is WNRP.
Right.
You have to address the fundamental cause, which is diet.
Right.
And so the key.
We got to go. Sorry, I'm coming up on a break. I got the Fox News break in here, but thank you
problem.
So much, Doctor. Thank you for joining me today. This has been very enlightening. I'll continue the conversation with you on the phone here in just a second, so don't hang up. Listeners, thank you so much for sticking with us on this. Doctor, I'll be right back with you. We'll be right back with more Pensacola Expert Panel right after this.